Again, a very warm welcome to those who are visiting with us this morning. As Neil said, we are working through a series in the Psalms of Ascent called Songs for the Road. The reason we've given the series that title is because the selection of psalms in the Psalter were often sung by the pilgrims as they headed up to Jerusalem for the triannual feasts. And these songs or these psalms are a beautiful reflection of what the life of discipleship is like. Because as Neil mentioned earlier, we are all on a pilgrimage too. And this morning, as Neil read, we're looking at Psalm 124. But before we look at that passage together, let's pray and ask for God's intervention. O Lord, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, please give us. And what we are not, by your grace, please make us. As you work in us now, through your word, by your spirit. Amen. No one was expecting Argentina to shine at the 1986 Football World Cup in Mexico. A string of poor performances as well as inadequate preparation in the lead-up to the competition meant that the majority of the bookies and journalists ranked the once-great Argentinian team well below tournament favourites, West Germany and Brazil. Argentina, they didn't have a hope of winning that year. At least, and that's what many were saying at the beginning of the tournament. Nonetheless, to the surprise of all, Argentina ended up winning the Football World Cup that year. How did these outsiders manage to pull off such a remarkable, unexpected victory? Well, the team's surprise victory was due almost wholly to the legendary performance of a 5'5" attacking midfielder by the name of Diego Maradona. Nicknamed the Golden Boy by fans, Maradona single-handedly dragged his underperforming team to the final in Mexico. For instance, during Argentina's 3-1 victory over South Korea in the first round of the competition, Maradona assisted in all three goals. In Argentina's 1-1 draw with Italy in the group stage, the midfielder scored his team's only goal. In that famous quarter-final match with England, Maradona scored both goals, one of which is still considered to be the goal of the century. In Argentina's 1-0 victory over Belgium in the semi, the Golden Boy once again scored his team's only goal. And in the final, played against the competition favourites, West Germany, Maradona played a pivotal role in assisting his team, helping Argentina to a 3-1 victory. Reflecting on Maradona's iconic performance at the 1986 World Cup, sports journalist Stuart Horsfield wrote, "Never before had a tournament been influenced by just one player. There have been great players at many World Cups, Pelé and Johan Cruyff to name just two, but they were all part of a great team. Never had one man made such a difference." And the statistics back this up. Of the 14 goals Argentina scored in the competition, Maradona played a role in 10, scoring 5 and assisting the other 5. The reality is, if Maradona hadn't laced up his boots and joined his teammates on the pitch that year, Argentina wouldn't have made it out of the group stage. History occasionally gives us moments when one person changes everything, when the outcome hinges on one decisive performance. At Mexico 1986, it was Maradona. But Psalm 124 records for us a far greater victory, one where the outcome did not rest on a gifted midfielder, but on the performance of another. And just like Argentina, God's people were not expected to win. They were outmatched, outnumbered, completely overpowered. So how did they survive? Well, most scholars believe that David wrote Psalm 124 in response to the miraculous events recorded for us in 2 Samuel chapter 5. Following the death of King Saul at the hands of the Philistines, David, the shepherd boy turned warrior, was anointed king over Israel. Under his reign, David was able to unite both the northern and the southern parts of the kingdom, making Israel into a formidable force. The Philistines, however, Israel's age-old opponents, didn't welcome this change and decided to launch a full-scale invasion with the hope of wiping Israel and her new king off the face of the planet. Reading from 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines, get that, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it and went down to his stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And David said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking flood." Therefore, the name of that place is called Baal Perazim, and the Philistines left their idols there, and David and his men carried them away. Now, David's experience of deliverance that day moved him so deeply that he felt he and the people needed to respond to God with thanksgiving. And well, that is what Psalm 124 is. It's a prayer of thanksgiving in response to the miraculous events of 2 Samuel chapter 5. Do you notice how the prayer begins with a repeated refrain there in verse 1? "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say." If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. As David reflects back on these miraculous events, the king recognizes how high the stakes had been. Throughout the psalm, David actually uses four poetic pictures to convey the desperate circumstances that he and his people found themselves in that day. Verse 3, David and his countrymen were utterly helpless, like people caught in the midst of a massive earthquake, in danger of being swallowed up alive. This is not mild danger, this is utter annihilation. Like people swallowed by the earth, buried without a trace. The imagery then shifts in verse 4. On the day that the Philistines invaded, the people of Israel were like those caught in the midst of a mass flash flood, which threatens to sweep them away in an instant. Verse 6, David, he likens the people of God to a defenseless prey, fiercely pursued by a bloodthirsty predator. And then in verse 7, David and the people were like a poor and powerless sparrow chased by a hunter. Do you see the progression here? Swallowed, swept away, devoured, trapped. In every image, Israel is portrayed as being utterly hopeless and powerless. And yet, despite these desperate circumstances, the people, they managed to escape. How? Well, the entire psalm hangs on one reality. Verse 1, if the Lord had not been on our side, not our strength, not our wisdom, not our preparation, says David. No, the surprise victory had everything to do with the performance of only one participant, the Lord. If the Lord hadn't turned up to the pitch that day, laced up his boots and put on his jersey, David and the people would have been trounced in an instant, swallowed up, swept away by the opposition. That day, the sovereign Lord could have handed Israel over to the Philistines if he so wished. Thankfully for them, this is not what the Lord desired. See, the Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth, had chosen to side with David and Israel. He had chosen to put on their jersey. To put it in more theological terms, he had chosen to keep his covenant with them, to keep his promise. And this was good news for Israel and David. See, if the maker of heaven and earth, the one who by a mere word can call all of creation into being, if he is on your side, then you're safe. The enemy can't touch you. Even if you have no weapon in your hand, you will prevail. Now today, you and I, we find ourselves in a different position to David and the people of Israel. We, thankfully, don't need to worry about being invaded by a group of bloodthirsty Philistines, dead set on wiping us off the face of the earth. Nevertheless, it would be as naive for us to assume that we are not at risk. In fact, the writers of the New Testament often stress the perilous state that believers find ourselves in today. So whether we realize it or not, we are engaged in a battle too. And we have an enemy who is dead set against us. While we may not wrestle against flesh and blood, we are, to quote the Apostle Paul, engaged in a battle with the cosmic powers over this present age and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You have an enemy who is seeking to trap you, ensnare you, and swallow you whole. Be sober-minded and watchful, writes the Apostle Peter, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Notice Peter's words, your adversary. Whether you recognize this reality or not, you have an enemy who is dead set determined on destroying you. This is what makes the Christian pilgrimage to the New Jerusalem so dangerous. It's important that you and I don't forget this. The life of discipleship is a hazardous journey. It's not a walk in the park. One of the reasons Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, is because we need to be delivered daily from an enemy who is smarter, stronger, and more sophisticated than all of us combined, who wants us dead. And if he can't kill us, he would love nothing more than to kill our faith. this is the case, if you and I are surrounded and overwhelmed by an enemy we cannot overcome, whose power far outweighs our own, how on earth will we make it through? Well, through no strength of our own, but only through the help of another. See, the good news is that the Maker of heaven and earth has chosen to side with you. He is on your team. And this is why we can declare, along with the psalmist in Psalm 118, "The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me." Part of the struggle for Christians like us, though, is that it doesn't always feel like God is on our side. In fact, it sometimes feels like God is more prone to be a no-show, especially when we need him most. Right now, many of us feel overwhelmed by work, life, family dramas, and God doesn't seem to be lifting a finger to help us at all. When we need God to storm the pitch, he doesn't turn up. When we need him to answer a prayer, he doesn't. When we need his peace, all we feel is his glaring absence. Now, some of you here today may even feel like God is against you, actively making your life harder, not easier. Of course, David could confidently declare that the Lord was on his side, we say. He was sitting in the grandstands the day God swept the Philistines off the pitch. He and the people got to see God's deliverance with their own eyes. It's no surprise he was so confident. What about us, though? Can we know with confidence that God is on our side, even when the circumstances of life make us feel like he isn't? Yes, we can. How? Because of what God has done for us in Jesus. Psalm 124 says, "If the Lord had not been on our side, then they would have swallowed us up alive. Then the flood would have swept us away. Then we would have become prey to their teeth. Then the snare would have trapped us." While Israel may have escaped this horrendous fate, the gospel message proclaims to us that Jesus didn't. Unlike David in 2 Samuel 5, Jesus was not spared when his enemies rose up against him. When wicked men surrounded him, the Father did not break through and scatter them. Instead, Jesus was swallowed up by death. The flood of judgment swept over him. He was given as prey to their teeth. He was caught in the snare of the cross. Why? So that you would not be swallowed up by sin, swept away by judgment, devoured by the evil one, and trapped in a snare for eternity. For us, and for our salvation, the Maker of heaven and earth came to earth, becoming like us in order to die for us. Just think about that for a moment. The one who commands the waters stepped into the flood. The one who breaks snares allowed himself to be bound. The one who devours death allowed death to devour him. But on the third day, he broke the snare. The grave could not hold him. The flood receded. The predator was disarmed. Sin, your sin, was atoned for. The evil one defeated, and death was undone. Why does this matter for you and I today, though? Well, because Christ was swallowed by death in our place, we will not be swallowed up for eternity. Because he was swept away under judgment, we will never be swept away. Because he was trapped, you are set free. Brothers and sisters, this is why you can know with great assurance that God is on your side. Not because life feels easy. Not because prayers are always answered the way you want them, but because God, the maker of heaven and earth, came to be with you in order to die for you. If God were against you, Christ would have not gone to the cross for you. He did, though, because he's on your side. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors, not because we are strong, but because the Lord was on our side all along. And in Christ, he still is. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we must humbly admit that sometimes we wonder if you are truly on our side. We are so focused on the circumstances of our lives, the grievances, the unresolved problems, the afflictions that we cannot shake. And these weigh heavily upon us and make us feel in our hearts that we are all alone. In those moments of despair, by your Spirit, direct our eyes to you, hanging upon the cross for us. For at Calvary, you show us just how much you are on our side. Help us not to turn from you, but to look to you, the one who loved us until death. Amen. If Jesus is on our side, everything's going to be okay. And we get to sing of that truth now as we sing In Christ Alone. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck any of you from his hand. And that is good news. So let's stand and let's sing.